Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I want to thank Billy Hunt for filling in for me last week. She does a good job. Good. Billy's inspiring. She does not look or act 80, but she keeps going, doesn't she? That girl can go. Although I gotta step in here. She said our pastor's very poetic, and she quoted a poem and just botched it. It was really bad. I'm strong in the Lord in the power of his might. I walk by faith and not by sight. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory. That's the poem. That rhymes. But I forgive Billy. Yeah, she tried. She gave it a good, valiant effort. I want to talk about something tonight. I don't know how long we'll stay on it, but we'll talk about it. It's important. I want to talk about because I believe. Because I believe. Faith and belief are referenced in the scriptures, New Testament, over 400 times. Anything that's mentioned that much, we really need to pay attention to. And so I wanted to go back and say, well, you know, Alan, you've talked about faith before. Yeah, I know. I'll talk about it again because it's really important. And when we talk about, so I want to talk about tonight, I want to talk about faith and belief and what it is and why it's important. And then how we change, things in our life change because we believe. Faith means a firm persuasion, a conviction. To believe means to be firmly persuaded. I used to hear people try to divide up faith and belief. They're not divided. Same thing. They're synonymous. And one of the things about faith that's helpful for us to understand is faith is not a feeling. If you're ever thinking faith is a feeling, you're going to be disappointed. Because sometimes you're going to, have you ever had days where you just felt like, man, I could whip the world today. I'm just full of faith today. And then some days you're like, you hope that Satan does not know that you're up and about because you're in no condition to deal with him or anyone else. And so oftentimes we can get into where it's a feeling, and faith is not a feeling. It's a belief. It's to be firmly persuaded. We live by our convictions. We live by our firm persuasions. I think sometimes over the years, when I came back to the Lord, it's 1981. And then in the 1980s, there was a lot of talk about faith. In fact, some people called it, if you know church history, they called it a faith movement. And faith, it developed, I think it helped a lot of people because a lot of people began to learn a lot about faith. But then, like any other Bible subject, it always leads to extremes. And so now you'll mention faith and you'll hear people say, oh, I don't want to hear anything about that faith business. If it's in the Bible over 400 times in the New Testament, you need to hear about it. Or you can't read your Bible and ignore it. And so a lot of times people have gone, well, I don't want any of that faith. Now, I remember times when people were doing crazy stuff in the name of faith. I went to Bible school, and boy, at that time, man, everybody was fired up. And we got all these people, and they're faith giants. And you had people, you had a guy who would look across the room, and he'll see a girl, and he's like, I claim her as my wife. And I mean, sometimes guys would go up to girls and say, I claim you that you're going to be my wife. And if the girl had any sense, she'd look at them and go, you get out of my face is what you need to do. But there were people that got married because of that. That is not a good reason to get married. You can't claim somebody. Then you had people claiming other people's husbands and wives, and that show ain't right. And so sometimes in faith, or people think that faith is only about getting stuff. I'm going to get stuff. It's the faith movement means I get stuff. I get a bigger house. I get a bigger car. I get more stuff. And listen, there's a whole lot more to faith than getting stuff. And so if you're thinking this, if you've kind of been turned off and thought, well, I don't need to pay attention to faith because I'm not trying to get a bunch of stuff. It's not about getting stuff. It's how we live. It's how we come to God, and it's how we live in our relationship with Him. So I need you, maybe if you've been negative on it, I need you to let's look at it from a different perspective, because it's not going to go away. In fact, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. And so your Wednesday night crew, you're my woo group. You understand that you're here to please God, right? That's what we want. And so it's going to require, now, have we just added something new? I just heard. Let's look at this in Romans. Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, it's the power of God to salvation. Now, you know that because at some point in time, you believed the gospel. You believed it. You believed this is true. And when you heard something and you accepted it as truth and you acted upon it, then thank God you were saved. But that's not where it stops. We don't just go, okay, I stopped there. No, we live that way. And we're made right with God that way. And so this is how we begin to live our life. We begin to live our life by what we believe. I did a message on Easter called What You Believe Matters. Well, what we believe every day matters, not just at Easter. What we believe every day matters. Many of you are here tonight because you believe something. You believed that if I come, that I'll get a chance to worship God, that I'll hear God's word, that it will benefit me. At least six of you believed that when you came. Some of you believed that if you came tonight, you would get somebody off your back because they're bugging you about coming. But a lot of times we're here because we believe. And we believe something. We live our life by what we believe. And so this is something that Paul understood. This is something that when he would go into the churches, he would work with the churches. And he had a real heart for these people. When Paul would go into an area, there wasn't a church. There wasn't a church on every corner. There was a pagan temple. There were heathen practices. And he would go in and he would preach this gospel about Jesus coming, Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus being raised from the dead. And people would believe that. And churches began to start all over the world. Everywhere he went and preached the gospel, it would cause belief to come. But then Paul realized he didn't stop there. And so we're going to pick up a reading tonight, something that Paul was concerned about. He was concerned about these churches. He was concerned about how they were doing. So we're going to read this in Thessalonians. And it's in chapter 3. Here it is. Therefore, when we could no longer stand it, we thought it better to be left alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith so that no one would be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. In fact, when we were with you, we told you in advance that we were going to experience affliction. The word affliction is trouble. And as you know, it happened. For this reason, when I can no longer stand it, I also sent him, Timothy, to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you, that our labor might be for nothing. Can you imagine you're living in a time when you can't pick up the phone and call anybody? You can't send a text. You can't send an email. In fact, it's hard to even get a letter out. And you're wondering, how are they doing? How is this church? He said, we couldn't stand it. Finally, we just couldn't stand it. Paul was like, what is going on with this group at Thessalonica? And so they're having probably a meeting. Paul had a group, a staff of people that work with him. And they're like, man, we got to find out how they're doing. We're going to send Timothy. And Timothy's going to come. And this is what he said Timothy's going to do. He's going to strengthen and encourage them in their faith. Strengthen and encourage them in what they believe, in their convictions, what their firm persuasion is. He wanted to strengthen and encourage them in that. So that tells you something right there. It tells you that the right person can strengthen and encourage our faith. If you came tonight, if you're listening, if you're half listening, you should have your faith strengthened and encouraged before you leave. What you believe should be strengthened and encouraged before you get out of here. If I'm doing my job and if you're open to listen, we should, if it's God's word, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by God's word. You should leave here stronger than how you came in. That's at least theoretically. Work with me here. Let's go with it and believe that, yes, Alan, I should be stronger because this is strengthening and encouraging what I believe. If the right people can strengthen and encourage what you believe, the wrong people can discourage and weaken what you believe. This is why One of the reasons why church is important. You need people around you who will strengthen and encourage your faith because chances are today some of you ran across people who did not strengthen your faith. Can I get an amen on that? So if you work with those people, you're thinking, now if you're living with them, I need you to look straight ahead. I don't need you to look around. But we need people in our lives who can help us and encourage us and strengthen our faith. And here's another thing too. We have so much input available now, you really need to be careful what you listen to. I don't listen to people who talk about they don't believe anymore. You know, it's like I deconstructed my faith. Well, I'm sorry that they did. I feel for them. But I'm not going to listen to a two-hour podcast about how they deconstructed their faith. That's not helping me. I need things that are going to help me, not things that are going to hinder me. And so listening to everybody out there, is this person's in the occult. No, do not listen to them. They're not going to help you. If there are people that doubt Jesus and that Jesus was real, if people who think that miracles and everything has passed away, they're not helping your faith. You just might as well go, well, you don't have to send them a nasty letter. You don't have to comment and tell them that they're crazy. Just don't listen. It's amazing. We have the ability to go click. And off it goes. But and listen, if you're hanging out with people who are constantly trying to pull you away from God, you need to listen to me. Listen, you can't just keep dealing with that barrage all the time. Either you talk to them and go, look, I'm going to serve God. And either they come with you or they will leave you. You say, well, if they leave me, I won't have any friends. You can meet some friends here. Look around. Here's a bunch of friends. Here are people who help you. Now listen, I feel for those of you who you're the only one in your family that believes. And that's challenging. But this is another reason why church is important. So when you get around and all of a sudden you're worshiping, you look around and you're like, oh, thank God, there's more than three of us that believe. There's people around that believe. It will help you. It will encourage you. He sent Timothy. He said, Timothy's going to strengthen and encourage what they believe. We live in a world that does not encourage our faith. So we have to be intentional about doing it ourselves. So he sent Timothy. Now, this is what he said. He sent Timothy, understanding that our belief and our firm persuasion is not static. It can get stronger. It can get weaker. Our faith, what we believe. It can get stronger or it can get weaker. Paul wrote, this is not in your notes, but I didn't say Paul. Many people think that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And if he didn't, when we get to heaven, we'll sort all of that out. But in Hebrews chapter 2, this verse has always stood out to me. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed. Now, we don't talk like that anymore. Earnest heed. This is New King James. How about this? We need to pay closer attention to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Closer attention to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've gotten away and haven't, especially when I came to the Lord. I was spirit-filled, came to the Lord. I was 19 years old, went back to college. And initially, I was doing okay because I'd been reading my Bible at night, been talking to my mom, but I got back and I got involved with all my college buddies. I was part of a fraternity. They weren't an academic fraternity. They majored in serious partying. And so initially I did good. Initially I resisted. But what happened was I wasn't strengthening what I believed. And because I wasn't strengthening what I believed, I drifted away from it. And in about a year, you could tell no difference between Alan before Christ and Alan after Christ. So I have a real heart for people that drift. But I also know this, you don't have to drift. You don't have to drift. Now, I'm talking to people who came on Wednesday night. You made the effort to come. You're here on Wednesday night. You understand that there's a difference, that you pay close attention to what you've heard. Because if you don't, and how many of you know this? And don't ask a show of hands. You get out of church, you stop reading your Bible, and then what you believe starts getting weaker in your life. And what happens is you can drift. I don't think people wake up one day and go, I'm just going to leave the Lord. What happens is it's a slow drift. And so this is why I encourage you. Say, well, this is why I encourage church. This is why I'm big on Bible 365. Because I know everybody here reads Bible 365. But the reason we read it is so we can pay close attention to what we believe. Because we've got a world out there who is not confirming what we believe. This confirms what we believe. What we see out there does not. In fact, they'll do everything to discourage you. And so Paul knew that. He sent Timothy. He said, we're going to strengthen what you believe. And here's the end result. It said, and I like this, I'm going to read it. So that no one will be shaken by these afflictions. No one will be shaken by these troubles. So the believers would not be shaken by the troubles they were experiencing. Now here's this word, shaken. Shaken means to wag to and fro like a dog wagging his tail. You're just getting moved like that. To be moved in mind, disturbed, to become unsteady. Troubles can hit, and all of us deal with troubles. I wish I could tell you that, and I think sometimes Joy and I have often talked about this, that kind of we in the 80s, we were taught that, man, if you just had enough faith, you wouldn't have any problems. And that is so not true. Because if you live in this world, you're going to have problems. In fact, Paul even told them that. He said, I told you that you're going to have problems. I think we need to, listen, people, we've made mistakes by making it sound like if you come to Jesus, everything in your life is going to be easier. No, if you come to Jesus, things in your life are going to be better, but it doesn't necessarily mean things are going to be easier. You're still going to have troubles, but now you have somebody to go with them, with you through the troubles. So you're not doing it by yourself. But let's just be honest. If you think, man, you know, I came to the Lord and I love the Lord and I'm doing everything. I even come on Wednesdays. I come on Sundays. I tithe. I give. I serve. I'm never going to have problems. You're kidding yourself. And here's the problem. If you think that is, if you think, okay, I'm doing all this right, Lord, I'm not going to have any problems. Then when problems hit, it will shake you. You're thinking, well, this isn't fair. I'm not supposed to be having problems. Listen, we're going to have them. You say, well, Alan, you enjoy, y'all don't have problems. Really? Are you kidding me? No, we still have problems. Now, here's something, and Joy won't mind me telling this. When Joy and I met, she was absolutely crippled by fear. Now, you see her now and you think, oh my gosh, she's amazing. She is. But she was, you talk about somebody who was shaky. She would call me sometimes. I'd be traveling. And I got a mobile phone back when it was a bag phone. You might remember a bag phone? I was bad with my bag phone, man. Walk in the place with a bag. It's like, whoa, you are a mobile dude. And so Joy thought it was a toy until she realized she could call me. And she would call me sometimes. She would be literally panicking. Something with kids. She'd be panicking. She wasn't steady. Let me tell you something about her now. She's steady. She's rock steady. She's had sickness hit her, problems hit her. She doesn't move. She called me. I'll never forget. She called me one day. She said, "There's a snake." Now, I hate snakes. I'm with her on this one. I'm like, "Where?" She said, it's by the door. I said, "Are you outside or inside?" She said, "I'm inside." I said, "Is the snake outside or inside?" "It's outside." I'm like, "Why are you calling me? The snake is outside." But things would go on with the kids. And she wasn't steady. Say, well, how did she get steady? Her faith grew. Her firm persuasion grew. Her trust in God grew. And as that grew, she got steadier and steadier. And now she got hit. She had pneumonia these past few weeks. And she didn't move at all. Man, she's steady as a rock. She's like, "I'm coming through this. The Lord is helping me." And He is. Her voice is coming back. She'll be talking to us on Sunday. So God is good, and she knows that she's steady. You say, "Well, God did that for Joy because she's perfect and she's the pastor's wife." No, she used to be absolutely crippled by fear. Used to sleep with every light on in the house and a Bible in the bed and everything else. I'm like, "Dear Lord, I can't even sleep here because it's like blazing eye. I can't sleep." That wasn't because she was trying to be ornery. She was fearful. She was shaky. Oh, listen, guys. Troubles are going to come. But the stronger we get in what we believe, the steadier we become. Amen. It's not that troubles are ever going to stop coming. It's that we handle them better now. How many of you can say this? I'm an honest question. Say, "Alan, I know I handle things better now than I ever handled them in my past." Is that a difference maker? I have said things like, "Oh, dear Lord, I'm glad this didn't happen years ago. Because if this had happened years ago, somebody's going to jail." Probably me. Paul understood that. And so he talked to him. He said, "I'm sending Timothy in order to strengthen your faith." And so he said, I need to know your faith. Were they still believing the right things?" So that's what he sent him. He said, "I need to know how they're doing." Now, this is what he said. Here's the good news Timothy brought back. 1 Thessalonians 3. "But now Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news about your faith and love. He reported that you always have good memories of us and that you long to see us as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distresses and afflictions." So this is Paul the apostle saying, "In all of our distress and affliction, we were encouraged about you through your faith, for now we live if you stand firm in the Lord." He said the good news. So Timothy came back and Paul said, "How are they doing?" And Timothy did not say, "Oh man, all that trouble's gone. They're good. Everything's cleared up. We're in good shape." No, he said, "No, their firm persuasion is strong. They are strong in what they believe. Their belief is strong." He did not say their troubles were over. He said, "The good news is when we heard that you're still believing." I hope some of you saw the Tina Bayhams video. One of the best videos of someone who has firm faith. That she went through a horrible time of losing a husband in a kayaking accident. But she talked, some of the things she talked about, I just listened to that. I'm like, that is a masterclass in firm faith. She said, I'm going to church. And the kid said, "Mommy, you're going to be sad." She said, "Well, I might as well be sad in the presence of the Lord." Did you hear her say? She said, "I got up every day, I made my bed, and I started reading God's word." Why? What's that doing? It strengthens what we believe. We've got to strengthen what we believe. Troubles will come. Troubles are going to be there. We're going to have them. But the stronger we get in what we believe, our ability to handle them is better. And so Paul understood this. He told Timothy, he said, how are they doing? Timothy brought back that everybody was in faith, which indicates that there's evidence of faith and love, that you can see faith and love. So you can get around. Have you ever gotten around people and you can tell they're strong in what they believe? They're strong. How they talk, how they act. So this firm persuasion of the church encouraged Paul. He knew this is how you continue with the Lord. You know, like I said, I came to the Lord, fell away, and came back. And I came back in 81, and I haven't left. Now, this is not a function of personality. It's not a function of, well, you just have a strong personality. Some people think faith is a function of someone's a strong personality. You're just a strong person of resolve. No, my belief grew. And as I grew in my belief and I got firm in what I believed, it began to change how I lived. And that makes a difference. See, paying attention to your faith, we got to do this, guys. We can't ignore it. This is why, you know, we laugh about it because I talk about Bible 365, but this is why it's so important, because it helps us with what we believe. We talked for a few weeks early in this year about changing how we think in our mind and taking scriptures and putting them in your mind. I hope you're still doing that. I hope you're meditating in God's word, and because what it's doing is it's working in you. It's putting faith in you. And because of that, it helps you stand. Because when problems hit, you're stronger. And when you're stronger, the problems aren't as big. And you come through them. Because I believe. So here's some things. Because we believe, we're going to respond differently to life. And here's one of the big things. And this is something you'll want to add to your meditation time, to add to your Bible reading time. Let's add this one, is we have something to say. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." Let me encourage you on this one right here. The kingdom of God is not a quiet kingdom. It is a kingdom where they're speaking. If you look at Jesus and look at his life, notice he was constantly declaring who he was, what he was going to do. He declared it all the time. He talked it all the time. You don't want to be a quiet Christian. You want to be a Christian that begins to talk what you believe. You have the same spirit of faith that says, I believe and I speak. But actually it starts a life spiral. You heard of a death spiral? It's a life spiral. I believe and I speak, but I speak and I believe because faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. Amen. And so what it begins to do is you begin to speak what you believe and it begins to strengthen what you believe. All of us I want to ask for a show of hands, but I know this. There are times when our thoughts just get to be a little much and we go really quiet. And you can look at somebody, you can watch them walk in a room and go, what's wrong? And you can tell that the thoughts have just been absolutely giving them fits. Maybe that never applied to you. I know it has applied to me. And you recognize their thoughts. You say, well, what do I do, Alan? Because my thoughts have gotten out of control. It's one of the best things you can begin to do is speak what you believe. This is the time. Now, we laughed about the poem. I taught that poem to the staff. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's based off of Ephesians 6:10. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory. That's 1 Corinthians 15:57. So what are you doing? Sometimes I just get up in the morning and say that. Why am I saying that? Because that's what I believe. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I walk by faith. by what I believe, not by what I feel, not by sight. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory. And actually, you could finish that through my Lord Jesus Christ. So what say? Well, what does that do? Alan, that doesn't matter. No, words matter. In God's kingdom, words matter. And I'll jump into that next week. Can you come back? Okay. I'll take that as a yes. Okay, so but we'll talk about this next week because you want to begin to speak what you believe. You say, well, Alan, when I first begin to speak it, it just doesn't sound real to me. I get it. It's because we're not accustomed to that. But the more we think about it and the more we begin to speak it, the more it becomes real. I'm going to ask a quick question. How many of you could say, Alan, I know in my heart I am saved, I'm born again. If I died right now, I'd go straight to heaven. Alan, that's me. That's good. That's wonderful. Now, some of you didn't hesitate a bit. You're just like, hands up. If you're like, that's okay. All of us were there. But you want to get to the place where you're like, yes, that's me. Firm belief. Would you bow your heads? Now, let me talk to you that couldn't raise your hands. If that's you, there's a prayer. It's a simple prayer. We can pray it. It's a prayer to receive Jesus who died for you on the cross and who God raised from the dead. Or maybe you're like I was and you were in a place where you once served the Lord, but you've gotten away from Him. And you know it. He knows it. But that's not where you want to be. You realize being connected to Him is the best place, and you want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. Not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come to the front. If you're online, this is still for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around except for me. If you're saying, Alan, that is me, and I need to come to the Lord, or I need to come back to Him, would you pray for me? Shoot your hand up real quick. Just acknowledge that. That's an act of faith. Thank you. 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 Good job. Thank you. Anybody else? That's me. His hands have gone up all over. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Now we're going to pray. Now listen, some of you said, I didn't lift my hand. Does that mean I can't pray this prayer? No. It's with the heart we believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Actually, your speaking it is an act of faith. So I'll lead you in it. We're going to pray it with you. You pray it with us. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. With head still bowed. Heavenly Father, thank You for those who by an act of their faith have received You or have come back to You. Thank You that You've acknowledged that. Thank You that they've been made right with You. Thank You, Lord. And for those of us who know and who walked with You, thank You that our faith, our firm belief, our conviction, our persuasion can become stronger and stronger. We thank You for that. We give You all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.